This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope you had a fantastic weekend. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4. You can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. I am delighted today to have with me for at least the first hour the Deputy Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Minister responsible for tourism and investments in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Member of Parliament for Exuma, and the list goes on and on. The Honorable Chester Cooper is with us today, and we're going to talk with him about what is with our question, a stellar performance being experienced in our tourism segment of the economy and the biggest segment of our economy. Mr. Deputy Prime Minister, welcome to C-Live, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. Good to be here.
No, it's great to have you here. Obviously, DPM, any disturbance to the Bahamian economy, whether that's a hurricane or a pandemic, that ultimately turns off our economy and essentially turns off the great engine of the economy, tourism. When the recovery is taking place, a big part of that recovery has to be the performance of tourism. And we are now seeing the tourism sector eclipse, in terms of numbers, that $7 million visitor mark, as it did in 2019, and now showing no signs of letting up at all. Can you, from the Ministry of Tourism's perspective, tell us what is it that you see happening and why is this happening?
Firstly, let me say thanks to the people of Exum and Ragged Island and the people of the Bahamas for an opportunity to serve. I'm delighted to have this opportunity granted by to continue my work in tourism, investments in aviation, and I am grateful. There is no greater service than national service, as you know yourself, Mr. Lang, and therefore I am always eager to express my gratefulness to be able to contribute to the development of the Bahamas. So yes, you asked about the growth of tourism. And I think it's a multi-faceted phenomenon. Let me firstly say that we are still blessed with great proximity to the USA and Canada, our key source markets. We are blessed with a very strong brand, getting stronger still. We know that there has been, during the COVID period, some pent-up demand. We know that consumer spending in the USA has been good. So all of those factors are relevant. But we also know that we opened the economy and we declared that we're open for business. We went around the world spreading that message. We have gone to more than 10 U.S. cities, sending the message that it's still better in the Bahamas. We are using an aggressive approach in terms of the ongoing promotion of the Bahamas through digital means. We are enhancing our use of technology using artificial intelligence. We have a great team across the world. We have several Bahamas tourism offices in various cities in the USA, as well as the UK. So really, we have a very strong machinery, and we have been putting all of the pieces together really to go out to the world and let them know that we welcome them still to come. We have a very robust cruise business, but we also have a growing, vibrant airline stopover business, and we are grateful to all of our partners, our airline partners, who we have worked very closely with to build relationships. So in addition to the new Nassau cruise port that's improved our product and our capacity, we also have been on an aggressive path to grow Airlift with existing partners and new partners. So we have JSX, the jet service coming into Marsh Harbor. We have American Airlines coming in, increasing capacity into Abaco, New Providence, Eleuthera, and Exuma. We have Delta offering new flights from Florida, which has not happened in a long, long time. We have new service from JetBlue on the West Coast beginning November. We have Alaska Airlines. These are just some of the new ones. But we recognize that as seamless as we can make it, as easy as we can make it for our guests to come to our shores, that will bode well for our numbers. So far, so good. We're tracking extremely well. Our strategies, we have treated tourism like a business. You know, my background has been in business, so I'm using a lot of the strategies learned in private sector really to help us to drive traffic to our shores. And yes, you are right. We are consistently seeing a boom that exceeds what we've seen in 2019, which has been about a year, and it's growing and it's getting better.
A couple of things, Deputy Bremen. I noticed that there is a continuous mentioning by yourselves of the opening up of the economy that you did. But in point of fact, by the time the election had happened, I mean, the Bahamian economy, especially on the tourism side, was open. Was it not?
Well, we eliminated the travel health visa, making it easier.
Okay.
We certainly declared the economy open for business, open for investments, and in all categories, and result as a result of those pronouncements.
Okay, but I just just to me, because I know what travel was in terms of in terms of in 2020, 2021, we know that tourists could come. But you're right. I mean, you know, maybe the message hadn't gone to widely because the world was still is, as far as I know, contending with the pandemic to some degree. But the idea is the message has to go wide and far. That, you know, we're fully there. So we welcome you and we're making it easier, right?
Absolutely.
You mentioned 2019. In 2019, the Bahamas had about 7.25 million visitors. I don't know if we've eclipsed that in 2022 yet. I was trying to confirm it, but I wasn't able to confirm it.
No, we're at 5.98 million, just exactly. Under the $6 million mark. But right. When you compare year-to-date versus year-to-date in 2019, we are up 30%. When you compare 2022, we're up 66%. So we're talking really about year versus year up to the end of July. So it's right. important to note that we're talking end of July. So we haven't yet gotten our official figures yet for August, neither for September, but anecdotal evidence tell us that towards the end of September, we would have eclipsed what we posted for the entire year of 2019, all things being equal.
Right, and the mix in 2019 was like 5.4 million in terms of cruise visitors and 1.8 million in terms of stopovers. Are you seeing a qualitative change in the mix now? Are the numbers in terms of stopovers percentage increasing over what we saw even in 2019?
An increase in all levels. The mix okay. is about the same.
Okay.
We are seeing significant growth, for example, in Grand Bahama. Grand Bahama is perhaps one of the fastest growing in stopover. Again, that's year over year. Keeping in mind that you had a lot of issues in Grand Bahama related to Hurricane Dorian, as well as COVID, like everywhere else. But some islands we're seeing growing faster than others in terms of stopover. But by and large, I think the mix is about the same. We are constrained. Yeah. We're constrained by the number of rooms that we have. And this is why it's important that tourism investments work closely together to exponentially increase capacity for rooms. And when we look at the new investments in the pipeline, I'm confident that we will be able to ultimately change this mix. We are seeing the coming of the Hilton later this year. That will be positive for room capacity. We see in the pipeline, Melia going to be announcing some significant additions to overall rooms. We have about $6 billion generally, $7 billion of new investments in the pipeline. Maybe $6 billion is related to tourism. It's in the pipeline, but some of it is already coming out of the pipeline. We have Hog Key in the Exumas, for example, which is about a $300 million investment. We see the construction levels there are really ramping up. And we also see Montage Key in Abaco's construction as well underway. So I'm positive about what I'm seeing generally in terms of what we will be able to offer in future years. So we believe we can increase the overall percentage of stopovers within the next few years.
But DBM, if I might ask you, when you say that we have $6 billion pipeline, are you saying that we have $6 billion worth of applications in, we have $6 billion worth of approved applications in, we have $6 billion worth of approved construction permits in? Because I think sometimes folks get a little bit frustrated because they're thinking, wow, with all this promise, when can we see that materialize so that they can get a sense of the stretch that might involve, because it is a process.
So we have approved about $6 billion worth of new investment in the touristic sector. And I will give you an example. In the Exumas, it's roughly $1.5 billion. We have Elizabeth Island. The construction is underway, early stages, but underway nonetheless. We have Hog Key. As I mentioned before, construction there is booming. We have Cave Key, all of approvals received, and we anticipate construction to begin there. And we have a project in Sampson Key where some renovations have started. We have two other small projects in Sampson Key, and they have not yet started. So they are in varying stages, but construction work has begun in many of these projects already. So one of the things that we're doing at Bahamas Investment Authority is working with the multi-agency group to help to facilitate these projects out of the pipeline. The water doesn't do you any good so long it's in the pipeline. It got to come out of the top. So one of the things that we're doing is to try to accelerate that by working along with the various agencies of the government.
So you think that you know, yeah, sometimes unfairly, we might look at a Bahama, we might look at Atlantis, and some of these projects where once these folks got their licenses, and I kind of, you saw and felt the volume of their work being done. I mean, Atlantis, I think qualitatively was different even than Bahama. And so when people hear these numbers and you indicate that many of these projects are on the way, a number of them are in the Keys. If the bulk of your population is New Providence, the second most in Grand Bahama, you know, there's an extent to which they're wondering, okay, when do we feel that? So in part, you're saying some of it is we got to move it through the system more efficiently. And then I have to ask you, you've mentioned Keys. What about New Providence, Grand Bahama?
Well, we have projects all across the Bahamas. No island is left out. Eleuther is very popular. Abaco has been extremely popular with a lot of new projects as rebuild or acquiring existing properties and being refurbished. There are significant interest as well in Grand Bahama. We've announced this project that is not yet underway in terms of shoveling the ground. There's another major project in the west of Grand Bahama that's been approved. I believe that's in the region of $300 million. There's significant interest, as I've said before, in the Grand Lucayan Resort. We have $200 million being invested in the Carnival Cruise Port, and there is significant construction already underway there in Grand Bahama. There was the groundbreaking perhaps a year ago, and work began immediately. I was quite impressed when I saw some aerial footage demonstrating that the work had been fairly advanced. That's going to be extremely good for Grand Bahama. There are some other announcements that's going to be coming shortly for Grand Bahama. I'll leave that to the Minister for Grand Bahama to announce. But suffice to say, the level of interest in Grand Bahama and New Providence has also been very strong. So I mentioned the Hilton opening. There's a project in southeast New Providence that's going to be underway. I think that's in the region of $150 million. That is a marina and cottages and villas on a small boutique resort. And, you know, you must agree that the real growth potential in terms of islands lie in the family islands. And we are harnessing that growth. We are making sure that every island is promoted. In tourism, when we talk about the Bahamas, we're talking about 16 island destinations, not just Nassau and Paradise Island and Grand Bahama. But I think they all are getting their play. And there's a very significant level of investment interest all across the Bahamas, which I believe demonstrates that the investor confidence is very strong.
So, do you have an estimate of what your room capacity will be in terms of addition? Let's say in the next 3 years, given all the projects that you have, like you'll increase our room numbers. You think by how much?
I think we will increase overall room capacity in the next 3 years by perhaps 30, maybe 40%. I don't have those numbers in the front of me, but I think it will be fairly dramatic if we are able to quickly get these projects going. In South Eleuther, for example, we have the Ritz that's making fairly significant progress. Cotton Bay. You know, there's talks there as well of steady progress. In South Abaco, there are two very large projects in the $800 million range. So I expect if we are able to really get these projects going quickly in the next 3 to 5 years, I would say, that we'd be able to dramatically increase room capacity by, say, 30, 40%. But we have to keep is insatiable. I mean, in September, some of the resorts in New Providence are running 80% occupancy. September is typically a slow month. And we know that as a steady occupancy level of around 60% spiking to exceed 80% is what we are seeing in some of our resorts.
Okay. Deputy Prime Minister, we have to take a break right now. But when we come back, I want to ask you a couple more questions about tourism performance. I mean, a 30-40%, even a 25% increase in room capacity would be a significant achievement for the Bahamas. I used to always wonder, how is it that we could have such desire for people to come to the Bahamas and still not be moving our numbers more progressively than we were? And the people in the industry would always say to me, it's your room capacity, Shivari. You got to have the rooms. And it sounds as if you're saying we're going to have some of those rooms soon. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking with the Deputy Prime Minister, Minister of Tourism and Investment, the Honorable Chester.
Everywhere. Fishermen here and there. The Ministry of Agriculture, Marine Resources, and Family Island Affairs now has 30 services available online. Apply for your agriculture farmland lease, farmers registration and license, and crawfish trapping permits online. All kinds of duty-free and import permits are now just a click away. Visit mygateway.gov.bs and grow your business today. My Gateway, making government work for you.
It's back to school season again with everything they need, from books, uniforms, to school supplies, all with a Fidelity personal loan. Apply today for a chance to win amazing back to school prizes. Call 823-4374.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivari Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I'm here with the Deputy Prime Minister of the country and the Minister of Tourism and Investment, the Honorable Chester Cooper, and the Member of Parliament for Exuma. And we're talking about tourism's performance these wonderful days of this recovery from the pandemic. Again, thank you so very much for being with us, Mr. Deputy Prime Minister. Clearly, we try to push for these investment projects because we are wanting to generate the kinds of economic activity, ancillary business opportunities for Bahamians, unemployment opportunities for Bahamians. Do you get a sense of where the employment numbers may move as a result of these $6+ billion worth of projects that have been approved?
Let me tell you that the unemployment rate at the moment is the lowest it's been since 2006 or 2008. That is largely driven by the growth we are already seeing in the economy, driven mainly by tourism being the largest industry. So it is important when we look at new investments. So when we talk about tourist numbers, what it means is that really we are improving the lives of our people. They're working, they're making money, they're able to send their children to school and college, they're able to fix their house, their lifestyle, their way of life. When they fix their houses, the contractors and handymen make money. And it spills into every other sector, whether it's transportation or whether it's food service or restaurant, people are able to spend more money in other sectors of the economy. So we talk about tourism being the main driver of employment, 50, 60%. But really, when you look at the indirect linkages to tourism and these investment projects, largely you see a very significant impact on people's lives. So when you talk about the new projects, the one thing I believe we agree on is that the fastest way really to get the economy going is really through foreign direct investments. We've been doing what I consider to be a very focused job in getting these projects going and out of the pipeline. You asked a specific question about jobs, and I did an assessment on Exuma recently, a region of 600 new jobs, 500 to 600 new jobs will be created in Exuma as a result of these 1.5 billion roughly coming out of the pipeline. So okay. I think if you...
Give me the numbers for Grand Bahama next then and New Providence after that.
Well, I don't have all of those at my fingertips, but you know, I'm a little biased too.
I understand. You pay a little bit more attention some places.
It's just an easy example to give, given the volumes. So, you know, I would have to pull that report, and I can give you an estimate.
Overall, if you
look at the 6 billion, 7 billion, 6 to 7 billion, you know, I would imagine that would be in the region of 2,000 to 3,000 new jobs, directly.
Okay.
With other spill-offs in the other areas, but as the projects come out of the pipeline and the operation, of course, there's construction jobs once the projects get going. So over time, I think it's a healthy priming of the pump, if you will, for the years to come. And if we are able to certainly sustain the level of growth we're seeing in investments in tourism and in other sectors of the economy, we will have a very positive outlook for the future. There really are some other projects as well in the industrial sector. You will hear more about these projects in Grand Bahama in particular in due course. But there are other sectors as well that we are working on. Minister Clay Sweeting has been working very hard in agribusiness. We do have some projects already approved for certain aquaponics and fish farming. And there are some interesting technologies being brought to agriculture, whether it's containerized farming or farms I mentioned. So I think there are some very interesting things in the pipeline. We've been working actively on something we call Innovate 242 to encourage the technology business, whether it's that hub we've been talking about for a long, long time in Grand Bahama, or whether it's digital nomads. Whatever we identify as potential opportunities as we drive this quest to innovate, it's going to mean more employment for Bahamians all across the Bahamas.
You know, Deputy Prime Minister, I'm delighted to hear you say something that I have said, I've been saying on this show for a long time, but a fair number of Bahamians push back against me. You indicate that the fastest, most rapid way for us to move this economy forward is through foreign direct investment. That's a fact of life that we could hate or love, but it's a fact of life. And you're recognizing that. And the extent to which jobs, because Bahamians say, all you keep talking about is jobs. All you keep, the extent ability for Bahamians to improve the quality of life of their families.
Yeah. Absolutely. I will also tell you, I'm also a strong proponent of Bahamians investing in tourism and Bahamians investing as a whole. You know, you know my background in business has been a life of encouraging people to save and invest. But when we look at the tourism business directly, it is regrettable that except for a few pockets like Cotton Bay or Island House, and some bonefish lodges and small boutique resorts, by and large, the largest investments in tourism have come from foreigners. So I think it goes without saying that component of the economy has been critical in the growth of our country. But we have to continue to push and encourage more Bahamian domestic investments. The Tourism Development Corporation, which came into law recently, is really designed to look at the bridges for decades, but really to help tourism-related entities thrive. So we're hoping to be able to provide mentorship, technical support, funding, incubation centers to cause small businesses to grow, to be medium-sized businesses, and medium-sized businesses to become large businesses, and large businesses to become regional players. So if you look at Sandals, for example, born in the Caribbean, became an international brand in the hotel space, we know that we can do it. And certainly, I believe more entrepreneurship, more small boutique resorts will expand and grow across the Bahamas and the region and the world. So I believe planting the seed is critical. That is what we're going to do through the Tourism Development Corporation and the incubation centers that we're starting to build out as we speak.
And in fact, this is a question that you may have in part answered, or if not fully, you think. Good afternoon, Shivago. If you can, please ask about what is the Ministry of Tourism doing to Bahamianize the tourism experience? Oh, that's actually different. What are you doing to Bahamianize the tourism experience, the product itself? You talked about Bahamians getting involved with the business of it. But this is saying, what are we doing to Bahamianize the product?
I think it's a great question. Certainly, if we are to create more Bahamian experiences, that's right down the sweet spot for the business of tourism. So it's six of one, half dozen the other, to be clear. But we are at the moment promoting the Bahamas as more than just a place to come for sun, sand, and sea, but also for cultural heritage tourism. Today, I met with some persons in the entertainment community, encouraging them to get involved with nightclubs, encouraging them to help me to answer the question for hotels as to where we can find authentic Bahamian entertainment, right? So that's typically the answer when you say to a hotelier, I want to see more Bahamian bands playing in your hotel. They say, well, where can we find them? So again, entrepreneurship is important. More nightclubs. The gentleman started to tell me about the Cat and the Fiddle. I don't know if you're old enough to remember the Cat and Fiddle, Mr. Lang.
I know it by what I have been told.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, and the banana boat, etc.
Yes.
So we are working with Bahamians to really help to grow more of those Bahamian type opportunities and Bahamian experiences across the board, the development of more tours, more opportunities for not just cultural and heritage, really, but for nature-based type experiences, whether it's ecotourism or whether it's a safari in Grand Bahama, or whether it's, you know, diving in a reef or swimming with the sharks in Western New Providence. The reality is that all of these experiences really shapes people's perception of who we are as a country and recognizing that we got more than sun, sand, and sea. Gombe Summer, for example, is something started by Sir Lyndon in the early 1970s, really to grow the cultural connectivity between the residents and the guests, designed really to show the world our heart, our soul, our art, our food, our dance, our drinks, our culture, our dress. And we brought it back after 15 years not being on Bay Street. We brought it back not just to Bay Street, but across 9 islands of the Bahamas. So the Tourism Development Corporation also pushing actively to develop new experiences. So when you talk about what we are doing for the overall experience, we are really focusing on the depth of the 16 islands that we have, whether it's fishing or diving in Rum Key, or whether it's snorkeling in Eleuthera or private aviation in the Berry Island chains. We are really pulling out all the stops to tell the islands of the Bahamas, building upon the strong brand that we have that's been built by many, many professionals that come before us.
But you know, Mr. Deputy Prime Minister, the truth is, while tourism can do things to help support Bahamian entrepreneurs in the tourism sector, the vast, vast, vast majority of that effort really rests in the creativity, innovation, resourcefulness of the Bahamian entrepreneur. Hey, because if you look at, say, some of these places, say Grand Bahama, there's a fish fry. It's been going on for years and years and years and years and years. And it's a very popular thing with tourists. It's Bahamians doing something that they say represents an offering to the tourism community, the tourist community, right? And so isn't it also true that a lot of this really will rest with us being able to organize around our own entrepreneurial efforts?
Absolutely. Every time I talk about it, I call on the Bahamian people to get involved. I call us really to participate. When we look at the work we're doing on Bay Street, for example, you talked about improving the product. We've been knocking down derelict buildings. We've been creating new green spaces. We're talking about creating an art district. But once we create that art district, we're going to hope that entrepreneurs will come and open restaurants and cafes, and musicians will be there, and artists drawing caricatures or whatever it is that our guests want. We're talking about creating green spaces. And once we create those green spaces, we're hoping to create a food market on the eastern end of Bay Street. And again, entrepreneurs are being called to participate. We're talking about creating more vendor opportunities in Junkanoo Beach on the Market Slope, which is the corner right on the side of the Straw Market. We are in desperate need of more Bahamian restaurants and nightclubs. So the 8 million tourists we attract, we rave about that, not to boast about the robustness of the growth of arrivals, but I want the Bahamian people to understand that this means opportunities for us as a people to create wealth, to create businesses, to start new businesses, and to expand existing businesses. That's why we're doing this. And when we talk about the $7 billion of new investments, it's not to rave about the number. We're not doing it for the sake alone that they're successful, but we're doing it really to drive sustainable growth for Bahamians. That's really the outcome we hope for.
Thank you, sir. We have a call on the line. We want to get to that call because we know your time is limited. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang and your guest, Mr. Chester Cooper. I want to just throw something out there. Out the Long Wharf by Tahitini Hut and all of that, they get that good beach out there. What about, like you said, Bahamians have to do it, but making the Kamalami boat and you know, teaching the tourists how to rig them, how to sail them, and then not on top of that too, the sculling boat. Mr. Cooper know about that, the boat that, you know, used to scull back then to go pick up your count and all of that. That would be a good, see, because sometimes the tourists don't leave with a good, authentic Bahamian experience. If something like that can happen, and then when you hook up the conch with the thing, you could just throw a couple conch, carry them out and see if the tourists can use that hook to pick up the conch. And things like that, when they leave on that cruise ship, they'll go, hey, turn back, man, I had such a wonderful time, I need to get back in that.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Thank you. All right.
I like those great ideas, you know, not fancy, but very authentic. And you know, you can do that conking experience straight from the sculling to the diving or the hooking of the conch back to the making of conch fritters or conch salad, as the case might be. So those are the kinds of authentic experiences that Bahamians can offer to our guests. It doesn't take a lot of out of us and a lot of capital to do. So I like it very much. Thank you.
Please ask whether the Bahama Host Program is still active, also the People to People Program.
Both of them are very robust programs. I'm grateful to the founders, Sir Clement Maynard, who really started those programs decades ago, and the people who have continued them. Bahama Host is a program that's getting a lot of attention across the world. People getting into the tourism business love the idea, as do the People to People program. We're training at the moment roughly 2,500 persons through Bahama Host, and I've asked the team to see how we can accelerate that, see how we can make that 10,000 a year. So we're going to be doing some dramatic things in the space of training, customer service, quality service, to ensure that we continue to keep pace with the growth we're seeing in numbers, that we continue to deliver the service that we promise.
This text, Deputy Prime Minister, says, hello, Mr. Lang. This question is for the DPM, even though I know this is not, may not be his portfolio. What is our government doing to assist Bahamians in qualifying to be eligible to apply for TSA pre-check or global entry like citizens from other non-U.S. countries like Mexico, Canada, etc.?
Actually, it's in my aviation portfolio. We continue to have a dialogue with the U.S. in relation to these matters. I think there are some low-hanging fruit. There have been also complaints about not enough officers at the pre-clearance lounge, et cetera. Those discussions are actively underway. Pre-clearance in Grand Bahama is something we'd also like to see happen. So all of these are under active negotiations with USA at the moment, and I hope that we'll be able to provide more seamlessness for Bahamian travelers as well.
Okay, we have a caller on the line. Go ahead and make it quick for me, please.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
All right, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Cooper, Mr. Deputy.
Hi.
How are you doing, sir? Yes, I'm also an Exumian. I hail from the vacant community of Black Point.
Good stuff.
Yes, sir. You know my mother really well, Ms. Roll, Muriel Roll. But my question is, what is it that the government has in plan for people like us? I reside in Exuma, in Nassau at the time, right now. But my plan is I want to move back to home, to Black Point. But I want to start my house at some point. What is the government plan, if they have any, as it relates to residents having access to some, you know, crown land just to build a home where my family could go, and eventually I want to move back home at some point, because I miss it really, you know, I miss it a lot. I miss it daily. And my mother, she still is in Exuma, and, you know, she's getting up in age, so I want to start building my house.
We got you, thanks a lot.
Go ahead and make your application. There's a lengthy process, and the Prime Minister, who's Minister for Lands, is giving this process some attention to see how it might be more streamlined.
Man, Deputy, but Deputy, you all know we must see really should speed up every application of a Bahamian who moves from Nassau to the family islands.
This is a vexing issue that's been going on for decades. But I'll tell you, there's a severe housing shortage. Particularly in some of the family islands, Exuma and Abaco rank up there and having the most of a housing shortage. This is an opportunity for entrepreneurs as well. Go build some houses. Make application to the government for some land to build. And we'll look at it favorably. There's not a lot of land, crown land on Exuma mainland proper, but there's certainly some in Black Point. So again, calling on entrepreneurs, Exumians and Bahamians everywhere, really to get involved. People like the young man who called just now should really be making their way back to Exuma, Elutra, Abaco, many of the family islands. These are really the centers for significant growth opportunities. And I keep saying that if we don't do it, others will. So I'm glad that he's thinking. I like the way he's thinking.
Before you leave us, you know, I have to ask you, prior to the last election, there was a research group that did a poll and showed that Dr. Minnis at the time had a favorability of about 60-something%. And so forth, and the party had some favorability and so forth. We have recently seen Public Domain release a poll showing for the prime minister, the party, etc. And I do recall that at the time that the poll for Minnis came out, that you were asked about it and said, you know, it didn't pass the smell test. You recall that?
Yeah. The evidence is correct. Yeah, evidence in retrospect, but the results of the election, right?
So is that a lesson for you to pay attention to things you pay attention to and on the surveys or what?
I think polls have become exceedingly accurate over time. Okay. But I think, you know, the smell test really is on the ground. The people must touch, see, and feel what we are doing. So whilst we talk about the successes that we have and the things that we're doing, we have to ensure that it translates into people's lives. We are working actively to do just that. As we approach our second anniversary, we will improve our communications, even demonstrating how people can participate in some of the activities that we are seeing. So when we talk about the arrival numbers, I'm going to do more. I'm going to be on the road more to talk about the opportunities through the Tourism Development Corporation, how we can participate and how we can really get more Bahamians involved. So I think there's work to be done. So as we go around talking about our 14 new airports, we're also going to take the Tourism Development Corporation with us. We're going to talk about new investments through all the islands. And really, we'll get the message out to people everywhere that really this is a great time to be in the Bahamas. It's a great time to be Bahamian. And certainly, the opportunities are there for everyone to avail themselves of.
Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Prime Minister. We really appreciate you coming on and sharing with us this important set of information about what's going on. We appreciate it. You got to come back, man. You got to come back and give us some more time because I got all kinds of people.
invite me. I'll come back. But it's been a pleasure.
I will. Right. Thank you very much, sir. We appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
All righty. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We got to take a break for news. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that if you feel like you've been down, say so.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year. Ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek, you can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. What
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I do not now have the Deputy Prime Minister to go. He indicated before that he could only do the 1 hour. We're grateful for his having attended. This text says, great show as usual. To tell your guest I'm not a PLP, but I think he's actually doing a good job, especially knocking down the old buildings downtown. No one in years had the testicles to knock down those buildings. Good job. Keep up the good work. Okay. You think ain't nobody had the testicles to do it? Okay. Say, great show as usual. I don't mean to stir the pot, but ask your guest if he has aspirations to be prime minister. Well, he's gone, so we don't have a worry about asking him that. Couple of things. So polls are out there. People conduct polls. If polls are being done in terms of the required random sampling statistical methodology employed, they are acceptable polls. And you notice what I said, acceptable polls. Polls have a degree of accuracy assigned to them. They have a degree of reliability assigned to them for gauging a population sentiment. Now, remember, if you have 1,000 people in a community, the idea behind polling is, okay, we're not sampling everybody in the community. That's called a census. If you did everybody in the community, you're doing a census. A poll is a sample of the community. And the idea behind the poll is that if you can select a acceptable number of people, and that number depends on the population, and you can select them randomly, meaning you're not being biased in who you select. Oh, I only want women. I only want men. I only want black men. I only want black women. I only want white women. I only want white black women. I only want young people. I only want old people. No, you have to do it in a manner in which there is a certain randomness to it, that you just kind of, it's like kind of just picking up the population, not having looked at anything, and just saying, okay, good. I got a random group of people from that population. Guess what? Of a population of 1,000 people, you don't need 100, you don't need 200, you don't need 300. So sometimes when I hear people talk about the size of the population, oh, that ain't a big enough sample size. No, you just don't understand sampling. Sampling doesn't require a big enough size. That's like saying, think about this for a moment. Your doctors pull a sample. You know what? Let me get back to this after we get this. I don't want to have the person holding on too long. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Thank you.
Mr. Lang, allow me a minute to express my position. Mr. Lang, you being a former basketball player with no, there's no stock and fire that ever wins a team. I'm a game.
Why are you trying to insult me, man, a former basketball player, man? I just play a little bit. Yeah.
And, you know, it is sad when I look, I think we are the Orient, where it showed us the importance of having various islands, not only with the necessary infrastructure, but hopefully domestic and foreign investment of displaced persons. If you were to look at the Southern Bahamas, I was trying to call in for some time while the Deputy Prime Minister was on the show. ask what is their plan for the Southern Bahamas, because it was the last major domestic foreign investment, successful foreign investment to hit the Southern Bahamas with Morton Salt and Inagua almost 100 years ago. Inagua has been contributing to the public treasury. I think we were at one point when certainly, I believe we still is, are in the top five, maybe certainly in the top 10 of sending the most money to the public treasury. And we've been receiving less than 0.1% of money to help with the infrastructural improvement and the running of that island. I'm talking about the need to have a school there. I don't even have a good airport. Thirdly, when you're talking about the fastest growing area in tourism, you're looking at ecotourism, and I dare to say that there's two islands in the hemisphere that could compete in terms of the variety of different bird species when it comes to the bird species and marine life. And we have a great offering. It is sad that we haven't had not only a local representation by way of our member of parliament, but the need, the government tourism ministers and the government not to see that diamond that is sitting there needing to be explored. And it's also a failure on the government's successful administration that they haven't had the wherewithal to put in the necessary infrastructure so that, that it can encourage or invite persons to come on down the best kept secret in the country. I just wanted to know what the government position was on the rest of helping to attract that kind of tourism to that island. But I can guarantee that Inagua has more to offer than Exuma, than Grand Bahama, than, you know, you might say I'm biased to that island because I'm from there. But you just look at what the island has offered to people, not only in the open wild sea, but in land. Okay. Thank you for taking your call, and I hope I didn't offend you. I know you can still
drop it. No, man. Take care. No problems. I'm sorry you didn't get your call in when the Deputy Prime Minister was here. I do say, though, you know, you really can't, like, unless you have the numbers, you really can't comment on what say Inagua gets in the way of expenditure by government versus what it gives in the way of revenue. I am doubtful about whether the Inagua's revenue versus expenditure would come out in the net. I'm doubtful about that, but I don't have the numbers myself, so, you know, we'll have to see. But I think the point is, you know, our islands want so much for themselves, and rightly so. And maybe, yes, we could do some more things for these islands. But boy, listen, I don't think we have any idea what the government of the Bahamas is up against. I didn't say administration. Government of the Bahamas is up against, again, when it comes to expenditure across these islands. I literally do not believe that the population fully understands it. And some part of that is, hey, oh yeah, man, money easy, money coming easy. You fly here, you fly there, or you go and you spend money on this year, this cultural festival, that, and people think money easy. Okay, yeah, stay right there. And your aspirations are not irrational. No. To aspire for better and more for your island, not irrational. Boy, but listen to me. Look into the treasury for that. Stop looking to the treasury and just ask yourself, pull it out your own pocket, because that's what you're asking the government to do. Worry more so that you could be taxed more. What? I'm only saying. Anyway, so we're talking about these samples. So think about this. Your body has how much blood in it? How much blood is in your body? We are told that we have essentially 1.5 gallons of blood in our body. It varies, right? But that's like about 8% of our body weight is blood. Okay? 1.5 gallons. Water looks like gallon bottle. So it's 1.5 that. So it's 1.5 that. You go to the lab for blood tests. And they take a little vial of blood from you. And they go and measure that blood. And they say, this is what your blood looks like. The whole blood. That's just a sample. That's what, if you do a sample properly, that is what happens in a population. That you get to get a sense of, with a certain degree of accuracy, just like the blood test, because the blood test don't have to be absolutely accurate. With a certain degree of accuracy, you get a sense of what that population looks like. And it doesn't work because it's theoretical. It works because it can be manifested and shown and demonstrated that it works. So polls may get accurate over time to the extent that it was never done right in the first place, but polls are polls. Scientific polls are scientific polls. Statistically properly done polls are statistically done properly done polls. Polls can't be, I like them when I like them, dislike them when I dislike them because they're not favorable to me. Yeah. Life can't be that way, man. Polls are polls. They are a snapshot in time. You can't get scared because the poll said all the prime minister's favorables are high because you think, oh, that means he go win the next election and you are against him and therefore you're scared they go win the next election. And you can't get mad if the polls show Michael Pintat's numbers are favorable because you think that will make him win the next election. You can't. Polls are polls. They are what they are in time. A snapshot in time. That's all it is, you know. They take it on that day. That's how people felt on that day. Maybe on that day they had something sour to eat and they're a little frustrated and angry. Maybe that day they had a great meal and feeling good about themselves and they answer how they answer. You could ask them the next day. They may be thinking something totally the next day. But you can't get mad with the polls. And if we're going to be honest people who love data and scientifically generated data, we have to stop this nonsense of liking the polls when they're for us and disliking the polls when they're against us. And I'm talking about the baby population. So public domain does a poll. I don't get frustrated with the poll. The poll results are what the poll results are. I'm not trying to explain them away. Oh, well, you know, maybe they didn't do it right. Maybe they didn't have enough numbers. Nonsense. Nonsense. Whatever the polls were, the polls were. They may have nothing to do with what happens next election, but they are what they are. Right? And so public domain produces a poll that says prime minister's favorables. Mine, absolutely, people who are were asked this question. Do you think that the prime minister is doing a good job? People said, 24% of people said, yes, absolutely so. 40-some percent said, somewhat. Somewhat. I mean, what does that mean? Right? It means they somewhat believe he's doing a good job. I'll say, absolutely. That's what it means. That's what the poll says. Now, what I thought would have been useful, and I'm not conducting the poll, and I'm certainly not telling public domain how to do what it is professionally set up to do, but it would have been useful to know if you see, this is because remember, this is what people want to do, right? They want to link the polls to the next election, right? How likely are you to vote for the Progressive Liberal Party in the next general election? And then you could get a sense of the connection between how they feel about the government's performance and how they feel about voting for the government. Again, that would give you a snapshot in time because that too could change. But you can't get mad with the polls. You can't be trying to explain the polls away. You can't be trying to sit around liking the poll because it's for you and then disliking the poll because it's for the other people. That don't make no sense. Right? Now, when the Deputy Prime Minister was asked about the polls when the polls was for minutes and said he had favorable ratings, he did say that they didn't pass the smell test because of the size of the polls. Well, the size of this poll ain't much bigger. And it's under two different, wasn't 10 cents, it's only done under this one. What's the problem? Size is not the issue in these samples. The sample size matters, but when you get on a 300, 400, 500 category, you're doing the right sample size. It's a question of the randomness of the sample. It is foolhardy to think that the Bahamas, in order for you to have an accurate assessment of things, you need 1,000 people, 2,000 people, 3,000 people. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. That's not true. That's not true. You could ask the researchers and the people all the, you know, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas does labor force surveys. You, how many people do you think in the whole population they survey? In thousands. In thousands. I don't think a thousand. Well, I know any thousands. Right? So the people produce a poll, poll produces results, and you say, okay. Wow, okay, so 24% of people, almost a quarter, people who was polled of the 500, almost a quarter, a little over 100 of them believed that he's doing an absolutely good job, right? 47% say, well, somewhat of a good job, okay. And then others just say not a good job at all. And then somebody on the other end, absolutely not a good job. That's the state of play of the population as measured by that survey. That's what they believe. Will they believe and feel that way next month, the month after that, and so forth and so forth? We don't know. But my only point is, we have to stop being data deniers, man. You can query your data because you can ask people, what was your methodology? And if you notice when they ask public domain about it, I'm always able to explain his methodology. And I can tell you his language and his descriptions. People who know how to do polls conduct their polls. And again, he acknowledges that these polls are not, these polls have a degree of error in it that says it might not be a measurement of the actual realities of things. But that's true of every poll, whether they're done in America or Britain or wherever they are done. We can't be, we can be data deniers. But in doing so, all we're doing is creating a world in which nobody out there should say anything because everything is subject to disbelief. Everything subject to disbelief. You can't be emotional about these things to the extent that they may not agree with our narrative. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Yes, I...
I came in and I heard you talking about a poll, as you said, things can change from day to day. I haven't done any poll, but on the street, people are saying that the BPL bill will be a significant factor as to the sustainability of, because some people's bill have doubled.
Mm.
And I have a concern about some other things, that is the price of fuel at the pump. I know in 2020, Christmas, it was $3.93.
Mm.
Now it's over $6 again. I don't know if you can explain as an economist why the price of fuel is three something in the United States, and why it should be climbing up high in the Bahamas. But it's affecting us all, and that also, I think, is also driving inflation, which I refuse to accept.
The price of fuel has gone up in the United States as well, because, you know, I remember when the U.S. price of fuel was
one something,
in fact, yeah. And so it's been creeping up. In recent times, I was there in recent times, and it's almost $3.40-something cents, 80, 60-something cents, depends on where you are. But the price of fuel in the U.S. will almost always be lower than here, because you don't have the scales they have in the U.S., the masses of the
okay.
Yeah, you're not going to have that. You don't have the dynamism of competitiveness that exists in the U.S. Market, and nor do the players really have the capacity to be so competitive, because the government is involved with the business controlling their margins. And so, and you're just not as dynamic a population to encourage that level of competition that might drive prices down in response to changes in the marketplace.
On the fuel situation, I noticed that the price of diesel has gone down relatively compared to what it was. And also, I also noticed that you're not getting the same mileage for full tank as you were getting before.
But you can't, there's absolutely no way for you to know that without yourself actually doing an...
Talking about the mileage, that is, your speedometer shows you the mileage. you know, yeah, what
you
a full tank
you can't, you can't, but you can't know that because that could be subject to all kinds of things. Your car tire might be different than it was before, and so therefore using more friction and therefore using more energy to drive
yeah,
the car.
Yeah, I'm not speaking as an individual only, you know, I'm speaking generally.
But still, you can't know that. You cannot measure that. You cannot know that. You can't know that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you can't. You can postulate about it, but you can't know it.
Well, those are those things to ponder and something some ombudsman to address. Whether it's the consumer affairs or the, you know, somewhere along to check up and everything.
I got you, brother. That's true. One day you might have an agency with the kind of resources to actually do that, because it is, if something is untoward, it's unfair to you as a consumer.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care, man. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, pay our respects to our great sponsors. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Alain.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
You to enjoy a classic sandwich so good we've been making it since 1979. Introducing the original chicken sandwich, American style, with fries and a drink for only $7.95, including VAT. This sandwich is made with white meat chicken, lightly breaded and topped with crisp, fresh lettuce, creamy mayonnaise, tomatoes, and lots of American cheese on a long sesame seed bun. Get your American original chicken sandwich combo for only $7.95, including VAT, at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Gulayn, your host. Just so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422, tap me on 439-3043. This text says, But shouldn't those polls represent the entire country instead of not just Nassau? Well, according to the article in the Nassau Guardian, a poll was conducted of 589 persons and, quote, residents throughout the Bahamas. So there you go. Apparently, it wasn't just Nassau. It says throughout the Bahamas. And the people in these polls, I mean, if you think about that for a moment, you just pick 500, 600 random people in the Bahamas, random, and they were prepared to be honest with you about what they were, but you asked them, since nobody would know their names and all that kind of stuff. They have the opportunity to say what they want. So, isn't it interesting? Some people said, I strongly disapprove, 11%. Double that number said, we strongly approve. Right? Men differed from men of 55 and older, different from people or lesser of different of a younger age. So, you know, when you see these kinds of variety and diversity in the midst of it, then you know it ain't contrived, because if I'm trying to contrive a story so the PLP look better or the FNM look better, I might do it and say they look a little more better than that. This text. Oh, we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Fine, thank you, sir. Listen, I have a question. Were these the same persons that did the polling under the minister administration?
No, they were two different people.
But
public domain people who did the municipal, their name was I'm trying to find a research group. Ragnar Research Partners did that poll.
Okay. I'm wondering the questions that they asked. I mean, I was not a part of the poll. I would have loved to be. But like you said to the deputy prime minister there, that he said, the poll didn't have a leg to stand on, for lack of a better word. What I wonder what his opinion is now that the poll is giving them the same reading, and you see where it left me.
You didn't listen. He said that, well, polls have become more accurate these days.
So the poll on the minutes was inaccurate. The poll is accurate. Wow, that's amazing. But I wanted to say, the gentleman that called before me in reference to talking about the fuel, I have a diesel vehicle that I use, and I buy fuel one service provider. However, I recently started using the fuel from the one in the east versus the west. And to be honest with you, I put in a half tank of diesel, which lasts me up to about 3 days on regular use. And the other one, same service provider. However, their fuel lasts me like a day. The same fuel that would last me a few days at the one from one end of the island lasts me far less at the other end of the island. So I understand what he means by the mileage on it.
I don't know
how that happens, but it happens, and I have proven it time and time again over a period of a couple of months.
Let me tell you. I mean, anecdotally, you know, your experience is what it is. I cannot argue with your experience. But here's what is true. When people are or fuel or mileage, you have to control all kinds of things to rule out that anything is a factor. Because, for instance, you may not drive the same exact speed that you were going. You may not go the same direction. Something may have happened in between and 1 hour and 2 hours to your vehicle to cause it to change its own efficiency. So what happens is, that's why they don't do it that way. They burn it in the lab.
Okay. Because I mean, I usually take the same route, go to the same places, and it's a usual thing for me.
But the wind speed could be different. Listen, all I'm saying is people don't do it that way. What they do is to know if a fuel is the same in terms of what its output is, you burn it in the lab under controlled conditions.
All right. I understand what you're saying. But I just was saying that in reference to what he said.
I understand.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you know, it is what it is. We'll see as we go along. I'm sure they'll do additional polls and people will be able to see how they move or don't move over time. You know, when I was talking to the Deputy Prime Minister about the tourism numbers, which are definitely growing relative to 2019, according to the numbers, I asked him a question about the mix, our stopover versus our cruise visitors, and he said that it was basically the same, the stopover mix to cruise. So in other words, the volume of our tourists is increasing, but the mix of stopover to cruise is not changing. So whatever is happening, we are not being able to attract more stopover visitors in relative terms to cruise visitors, which is really the prize we've been looking for to get more spend out of tourism. Getting additional spend out of cruise visitors is something that we strive for. That's never going to produce for you the same level of results that you can get if you can get more stopover tourists to come to our shores. Whatever our policy pronouncements, our policy efforts, we have not been able to clearly change that mix yet. Now, that was why we had a discussion about the hotel rooms, because a lot of the players keep saying, well, it's room capacity, which would mean for me this. So this is what I don't know from tourism. I don't know from anybody. 1 million, 2 million, 3 million people saying, I would come to the Bahamas if you had rooms. How would I know that? Well, I would know that if the existing rooms tell me I turned away X number of people, X percentage of people last year, because we just don't have the rooms. We don't know that. We don't know that. And if, I cannot understand this, if 3 million, 4 million people are out there saying, I would come to the Bahamas if you had the rooms, I find it incredible that investors would not be clamoring to get here to take care of that. Clamoring to take care of it. A lot of the investments are in the family islands. Family island tourism is a very high-end product. You go to family island, you spend some money per night, right? I love them, love family island, but you spend some money per night. But the DPM says a lot of these investments are these keys and what have you. Nassau, New Providence, and Grand Bahama. Tourism shouldn't be Nassau-centric, but let's be real. 70 plus, almost 70% of the population is in New Providence. And 70 plus percent of your tourists, New Providence. One day you may get a shift in that, but that's not today. So we need, but what I don't know is what is happening out there in terms of clamor for these rooms. And why it is that we aren't translating more quickly these approved projects into concrete rolling out projects. Why exactly? See, I've said it before, and I say this again. Serious investors who think they can make money doing something, who have the money to do to invest, you don't have, listen, the government of the Bahamas would have to be sitting on its fanny for those investors not to get up and running. You've got to be ignoring them people. Saul Kirsner had his money. Kenya, Billy Teens. Albany got their money. Kenya built their things. When Bahama did in fact finally get the Chinese money, Kenya built their things. What's the combination? You got your money. You got your plan. You're serious about making money. Boom, you go and invest. I am hopeful. Listen, I don't care who politics get messed up because of it or who politics don't get messed up because of it. I am hopeful. And that's $6, $7 billion worth of projects that the Deputy Prime Minister talked about, that every single one of them find themselves are landing in the Bahamas, operational and otherwise. I'm hopeful. Please let it happen. Because it could only mean positive things for us. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. When we return, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car.
the lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit weekdays 9 to 5.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Shrink your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. This text says, Mr. Lang, people need to stop being super sensitive and always in their feelings. I never got it. But if someone disagrees with something, someone say you are against the person or against the party. Well, good luck with that. I hear you and I agree with you, but it's very hard. Very hard in politics for people because people feel like they really have something real at stake when one party wins. And those of you all who are in these parties and running these parties, I don't get vexed with me because I talk in your business. I want you all to know that these parties are very, very active. They've already engaged professionals to assist them with their campaigns. And I want you all to know, for the most part, they engage foreigners to assist them with their campaigns. You want me? You all hear me? They engage foreigners to assist them with their campaign. For all this Bahamian face, for all this Bahamian could do anything, for all of that, most of them are foreigners. And this is nothing new. It happened from the FNM under Pinlin, under Ingram, under Christie, under Minnist, under Davis. They all get these non-Bahamian entities. They help them out. Now, mind you, it may well be for reasons of maybe kind of guarding against information getting out, even though the information still get out. Or it may well be because they are believe these people are more professional, at least more expert at what they do, but they are active. They are active, they're planning strategies, they're active, they are busy. We are not halfway into an election, into a new term, and I want you to know that there are foreign entities that are actively, strategically assisting these political parties. Some individuals even have foreign entities assisting their causes to win or to try to win. So the Bahamas, it's hard under those kind of circumstances for where the politics continues to be quite raw. People not to get caught in their feelings, I heard Anton, I can talk your business today, but I can't talk your business because you was on Dwight's show when you said this. Anton was talking about how he expected things to skyrocket at BPL. He expected, skyrocket as in improved significantly, and in housing and what have you. That's what he said. So I said when I listened to Anton was quite convicted, passionate, as he normally is, about it. I said to myself now, so let me see. What has changed in those areas, saving and except the political personnel? So the prime minister moves a minister out of this ministry and put the minister in that ministry. And according to Anton, things have take off. Well, but it's the same government and it's the same policies. So you're telling me things didn't take off because the person was in the wrong spot. They wasn't doing a good job. That's the only conclusion I can get. Listening to Anton's logic. Says things didn't take off now. If the right person had been there, things would have taken off because nothing else would change. The personnel in those ministries are not going to change, maybe except for we are hearing at the level of immigration director. And we don't know that to be true. We just would be hearing. But otherwise, the staff can be the same. Mm-hmm. The same staff that carry out the functions and duties. The permanent secretary may change, but it can still be a permanent secretary. Only thing gets to change is the political director. And so if things, as they ought to have been moving before, that means that the minister went from there, wasn't doing what they were supposed to do, and now the new minister will make it happen. Well, if you put the new minister who wasn't, if you take the minister who wasn't doing that in the other place the way it should have been done, and put him in a new place, what's going to make the difference? That he or she liked the place they're going to, because it's the same person. Same government structure. What's going to be the difference? You all tell me. I'm asking you. If I am being irrational, tell me. What will be the difference? I don't know. We have to look at these things. Well, we have to try. I'm not foolish. We all have biases. We all have preferences, right? But that's not a problem. That's not an issue. When some people tell you that that's a problem, that's not true, because every time you elect a government, it's going to be a political party. It is going to be. It's going to be, and therefore a partisan group. It has to be. The Constitution says the leader of the party with the most members elected in the House of Assembly, that's who becomes a prime minister. So you're going to have a partisan, biased, preferenced group that becomes the government. So it's the suggestion then that a prime minister who's a PLP prime minister cannot be a good prime minister for the whole country, or a prime minister who's an FNM prime minister cannot be a prime minister for the whole country. And that's not true. That's not true. That's not true at all. But in order for that not to happen, what has to not happen is you can't keep your bias right in front of your eyes, blinding you to any objective reality that exists out there. That's what has to happen. You have to be able to take your bias, put it on your lap, look at life, and then try and see it as clearly as you can. And then when you're done, you can pick up your bias back. You see? So you could say, you know, my party is not acting right in this particular matter. I would really have preferred my party to have done X, Y, and Z. So that's when you take your bias off and you put it in your lap. And then you could pick your bias back up and say, yeah, but I still vote for my party. I hope they change this, but I voted for my party. See, so that don't stop you. The two of them are not mutually inexclusive, right? To be able to do that. So the hope that the texter has, that we could put that aside and what have you, is they hope that that we could have, but may not translate, because the fact of the matter is people out there busily campaigning. These people ain't joking with joy. People in power stay in power, and the people who are out of power will get in power. I saw somebody sent me the other day, And these people who are, they're doing all in their power. All in their power. To try and to drum up support. And so I saw somebody sent me some information, people sending around about how the Bahamas was coming into billions of dollars in carbon credit money, and some parliamentarians will receive up to $50 million each, and some will receive $1.5 million each. And 250 people sharing this. Someone sent me that, and people are seriously sending that around. And I was at my mother's house yesterday, and I was talking about it, and somebody told me they saw it. And I'm thinking to myself that things like that could be said, and people actually buy it. Oh, my goodness, it tells me a lot about the environment that exists for politicians to be able to put stuff out there and get takers. I'm serious that you could say something like that, wild like that, and people actually believe it. It is absolutely incredible that stuff like that could go out and people would buy that. Really? A single member of parliament with $50 million? So I'm fearful for how we might play these politics out in these kind of times, man. Fearful for. And you see some of these people, some of these folks who are participants in the background and in the foreground of politics are not interested in being guided by truth. Not. They're interested in being guided by what works, what helps. You know, they say you go in court, it isn't what is true that matters, it's what you could prove. Well, in some instances in politics, it ain't what's true, it's what you can get people to believe. Anyway. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today. God spares life. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care and have a good evening.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Rawstar Assurance.